This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll talk markets in a moment with Bob Maurer. First, Undersecretary for Food Safety at USDA, Dr. Mindy Brashears. She explains how small and very small meat processors have unique regulatory needs focused on within a USDA plan.
FSIS regulate all of the meat and poultry industry, and about 90% of our plants fall in the small and very small category, and that's very much defined in our rulemaking system. And a small plant has less than 500 employees, and our very small plants have less than 10 employees. And so that's the great majority of what we regulate. Over the past several years, we have found research and gathering information that they have some really special needs.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, how about those row crops?
Yeah, we definitely shrugged off some earlier weakness in the grains. When I checked in the morning, I looked at the markets as usual, and they were mostly negative. And then throughout the day, we've been able to claw back some. So maybe a little bit of catalyst came in to push these markets a bit higher on the session. So we'll see how that plays out and see if it lasts throughout the rest of this week. Now, in terms of just kind of working our way through each one of the commodities, corn, wheat, and soybeans, starting with beans, generally, most of the things, in my opinion, that are impacting the market at the moment are leaning more towards the bearish side. Number one, you've got pretty favorable U.S. growing weather. That's pressuring prices. Much of the Midwest basically has received some timely moisture and below normal temps. Just a personal anecdote out here. Northwest suburbs of Chicago, I'm looking at the mid-70s, and it's nice bright blue skies out there, but you know, the temperatures are pretty moderate at the moment. In terms of other things that are impacting the bearish side of the equation for soybeans, you got the heavy fund liquidation. That's been a major bearish force as funds have flipped, and not flipped, but definitely been on the sale side of the equation, offsetting some of their position. The energy weakness, that's weighing on soybean oil, which is weighing on soybeans. So with the news that it appears a memorandum of understanding has been negotiated between Iran and the United States that could put a significant and hopefully permanent pause in the war, that took out some of the wind of the bullish side of the equation for the energy prices. In particular, I'm talking about crude and the diesel futures, and that obviously worked its way back into the ethanol equation for corn, and then for the biodiesel for soybeans, and took a little bit of that bid out of there. So that, I think, is working against the market. The notebook crush numbers came out. They were deemed disappointing, but oil stocks were bullish. The May notebook crush came in pretty well below expectations at just under 209 million bushels. That was down from April, and the lowest daily crush rate in 8 months. That is deemed bearish for soybean demand. However, the bean oil stocks were also much lower than expected, which provides a little bit of an offset to support the soybean oil. So we'll see how that plays out. Export demand still kind of on the weaker side, especially out of China. Export inspections were in line with expectations and above the weekly pace needed to meet the USDA's forecast, but year-to-date inspections still remain below last year. So we need to see some kind of consistent and considerable change in order to change the opinion on when and how much export sales we're going to get from the rest of the world for our soybeans. Generally speaking, big picture, and to that point, global supplies still remain pretty darn comfortable. Brazil's soybean crop is estimated at a record level. Argentina's harvest is nearly complete with a pretty sizable crop, so again, just competition. In terms of some of the things that are working their way into the corn market, one definitely thing that's opposite of soybeans is that export demand has been a supportive offset for some of the bearish things hitting the markets lately. Weekly export sales were basically deemed as strong, particularly for the new crop. New crop sales are running well ahead of last year. That kind of suggests that global buyers are showing interest as prices decline. So nothing cures low prices like low prices. And maybe we're starting to gain a sense that the world market is willing to dabble into the U.S. market. It's become more competitive as we've seen these pretty good dips in prices. Working against corn prices, similar to soybeans, favorable U.S. crop weather. Similar to soybeans again, fun selling, that's been on the aggressive side. And again, that other theme where we've got the energy weakness, that's also pressuring corn. The balance sheet generally worldwide is heavy. That recent WASDE left the U.S. old crop and new crop balance sheets mostly unchanged, with old crop ending stocks still above about 2 billion bushels and among the largest on record. So in terms of the backdrop supply situation, we're not necessarily looking very tight at all. So there's still that overarching dynamic with the market on the supply side where, you know, we're not necessarily feeling the pinch. And I think the market's also reacting to just the general supply availability throughout the world. The Safrinha harvest down in Brazil, that is beginning. And I think that the input cost and inflation angle might be shifting too. We're talking big picture stuff here. But, you know, with the lower energy and fertilizer price expectations, because of the announcement of the likelihood of the memorandum of understanding being signed by the end of this week between Iran and the United States, I mean, that could stave off some of the concerns that some had had about the availability for fertilizers and, you know, basically the production levels that could come out from this year's crop. And then in terms of wheat, the driver here, I guess, we've got the world wheat supplies. They remain comfortable. Similar story to corn, and I think that's enough to limit the upside. So even with the lower U.S. production, global supply concerns are not necessarily severe. The Black Sea crop estimates were increased. China and India, they're expected to have large crops, and even Romania may produce a record wheat crop. So worldwide, things look ample. Fund selling, pressuring prices, technical weakness, pressuring prices. The spring wheat conditions may be improving. And there's some reports that expected spring wheat crop ratings could improve, which adds a bit of a bearish element to the Minneapolis wheat. And based on today's pricing, with the winter wheat contracts trading both higher, anywhere from 5 to 6, 7 cents or so, the Minneapolis contracts traded a bit lower. So it looks like the market's pricing in that potential there. And then in terms of the winter wheat harvest, it's moving north. So harvest is underway or beginning across southern Illinois, where I'm at here. The broader activity is expected soon in Illinois and Nebraska. The market is watching as the harvest moves into some of the drought-impacted winter wheat areas. And obviously this could reveal weaker yields and potentially help the KC market hold up better than Chicago. So we'll see how that plays out. So plenty of things moving the needle on the market here in terms of the supply and demand and how the market's pricing things in. So we'll just continue to keep an ear to what's going on and be ready to basically react accordingly.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Mowers with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's talk livestock.
Well, in terms of the livestock markets, really, we're finding some buoyancy in the live cattle prices. Feeder cattle prices look relatively strong. Hog market is trying to find a bottom. I'm not necessarily sure it has quite yet, but that's the kind of character in those markets at the moment. In terms of cattle in specific, we've got news out of the market about JBS. They announced it's going to close their Souderton, Pennsylvania beef plant. Roughly around 2,000 head per day of capacity. Also, JBS might be closing their Tennessee plant. So this also follows some other recent plant closures and could be deemed bearish for the cattle producers because it reduces the number of outlets competing for cattle. So we'll keep an eye on those type of developments. In terms of some of the bullishness helping the market higher, packers have gained some leverage, so that's a good thing. Slaughter and beef production are still running below year-ago levels. Weekly cattle slaughter was estimated about 524,000 head, which was down from both the prior week and last year. Feeder cattle remain supported by tight supplies, but calves are, I would say, a little more mixed. Oklahoma City feeders results were mixed. Feeders were steady to about 10 bucks higher, while calves were about 2 to 20 bucks lower. And then the demand for the unweaned or short-weaned cows was limited due to basically the hot weather. So that's a dynamic working in the markets. Things that are working against it, cash cattle trade was steady to slightly lower last week. Traded around 255 live, 405 dressed in the north, roughly about steady to a buck lower week on week. Box beef also softened up some with the choice closing lower around just shy of 392 bucks, and the select was also lower. So that is working its way on the cash side of the equation for the cattle market. In terms of hogs, I'd say primary drivers at the moment are you got some headwinds from the softer cash trade. Product demand is, let's just call it, sluggish at the moment. Year-over-year pork production is relatively large, and we're still contending with some heavier weights. And then the exports of late have not necessarily been that stellar. So there's been lighter export numbers that were flagged as a bit of a concern of late. And without those stronger exports, I think the domestic market's going to have a tough time absorbing all the pork that's being produced at the moment. So a few different elements working into both the cattle and the hog markets there. So we'll keep an eye on some of the inputs. That would be the grain prices. And have a plan ready for when it's time to do your marketing if you're a producer. And also lock in some favorable prices if you are on the procurement side of the equation.
Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, if we want to keep up with you, how do we find you?
Yeah, for the producers, the hedgers, the active traders out there looking for an experienced person like myself to collaborate with, I'd be happy to visit with them about their market objectives, risk tolerance, and execution needs. To learn more, you just pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or come visit online at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Recently, Energy Secretary Chris Wright testifying before a House Energy Committee.
But study after study has shown that human-caused ocean warming has intensified all 11 Atlantic hurricanes in 2024. Climate change made Hurricane Milton hit as a Category 3 instead of a Category 2. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I can walk you through where we've had 500-year storm after storm after storm in the past 7 years. As the Secretary of Energy, you're telling me today that you don't believe that hurricanes and floods are getting worse in this country.
They just simply aren't. I published that data and stuff written by me. It's in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. Look at the U.S. hurricane data. We have 125 years of data. No increase in hurricanes. No increase in the average intensity of hurricanes. What you're talking about is these attribution studies, which are just non-scientific. These are things that could happen.
This is the Agribusiness Report.